Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 3 of Drunken Masters of Asian Cinema. Can you believe it? James, we made it this far.
We're a little late,
episode
though.
Episode 3. Yeah, we're like 2 months late, but who's waiting?
Our 17 fans are going to be sad.
Oh, damn. Well, they'll be happy now because we're here. So, hi, everybody. I'm Paul. With me is my longtime sparring partner, James the White Buddha.
Hey, everybody.
We've all missed you, Jimmy. Everybody.
I know.
So, this episode, we're going to be talking about the Ong Bak movies, the Tony Jaa trilogy from Thailand. Good old Thailand, home of Sagat and Tony Jaa. Who else from Thailand? I don't even know. Sagat being a fictional character, of course, if you know your Street Fighter.
For those that don't know Street Fighter, yeah. He's a fictional character in a video game.
He's a big white dude. He looks white. Doesn't even look Thai at all. But he's super buff and like 8 feet tall, which is uncommon, I think, in Thai.
Yeah, it's pretty uncommon.
Wasn't there another, like Adam, I think his name was, another in like Street Fighter Alpha, I think it was another Thai fighter?
Yeah, there's a Muay Thai fighter, Adam or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
He had funky hair.
Yeah, and there was also Joe Higashi, I think, did Muay Thai from Fatal Fury.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, I like Joe.
I love Fatal Fury. Those games are awesome.
Oh, so is the anime. I love that.
Yeah, those were great.
One of my first. That's why I love it so much.
Nostalgia.
Word. So, I was reading the Wikipedia of Tony Jaa just before we started our show, and I guess he did a lot of stunt. He was a stuntman for 14 years, it says. And, he says he was a stuntman in Mortal Kombat Annihilation, which I didn't know, which is crazy. Another unknown fact was that I guess he had somehow caught the attention of Jackie Chan. And Jackie Chan asked the director of Rush Hour 3 to cast him in it. And I guess he was going to, but he couldn't do it because he was filming Ong Bak 2 at the time. And I was like, man, that would have been fucking awesome if he was in there.
Yeah, that would have been.
That probably would have been the first time I would have seen him, because I don't think I knew about Ong Bak for, it was a bit ago, but I think around that time it was still pretty unknown. So that would have been a nice little, I think, introduction to him.
Well, now, did you find out about him, like, after The Protector or before?
I think it was... No, it was before. I saw Ong Bak. Where the hell did I see Ong Bak the first time? I think it was with you guys, wasn't it? Because I remember seeing The Protector with, like, you and Arian, I think, our other friend. I'm talking like the people know who our friends are. Because I remember discussing it at a time when we watched The Protector, and I'm pretty sure I had seen Ong Bak before that. So...
See, I don't think I did. I think The Protector was actually my first, and then I went back and saw Ong Bak.
Sometime
later,
oh, okay.
I think.
Yeah, I was somewhat familiar with him. I think that's why I wanted to watch The Protector, because I liked Ong Bak so much. We're derailing here. So let me bring up my notes, because I took notes like I always do. So we're going to start off with the first film. The first time I saw the beginning part, when they're doing that, I guess it's like a ritual with all the... I'm guessing all the young men in the village.
Yeah,
climbing humongous tree. Yeah, I'm like, whoa, what are they doing? What are they trying to get, So they all start climbing in, and I'm like, okay, this is pretty neat. And then all of a sudden they start, like, throwing each other off and just landing in hard dirt, and it just looks all painful. And I'm like, whoa, what the hell's going on here? And it's just, it goes on for a while, and you finally see Tony reach up and find, like, a sash of some kind, yellow sash, and ties it around himself and starts heading down and kicking dudes in the head and knocking them off and everything, and dudes are like hitting branches on the way down, and oh man, it was just a cool scene. I always wondered what that was, like what the point of that was. Was it just like a rite of passage, of some kind? I don't know. Do you know anything about it or no?
I just assumed it was a rite of passage. I don't think they really have just explained it in there. And
yeah, me neither. And, I tried looking up it in the Wikipedia, and it didn't really say much about it. So I'm wondering, that's just a showcase of what, or if it's even real. Do they even really do that? I don't know. It's a mystery to me. And it's like you really wonder how many people die from that thing. Broken necks, you know? Because yeah, they're falling high.
They've hit pretty hard, too, even just movie. Like, feel bad for the stunt guys.
So there had to have been a few broken ribs and ankles. Oh, man. So, they chose Tony practicing in his village, throwing all his... I always love when they do that, too, when they're practicing their kung fu and they name the moves that they throw. You know, so he's like, snake attacks mice, and, you know, just like doing all these, like, it just reminds me of, like, Dragon Ball when they, you know, announce their attacks before they throw them.
Yeah, it always made me think of anime when they do that.
That's hilarious.
I always wanted to name my moves, too.
Yeah. Fist hits head. Pow. So, yeah, so he's in his village, and he's, you know, he's practicing, and his master comes along. He's like, all right, shit, what was his name? Tien? No, wait, what was it?
Tien was later. The first one was Ting.
Ting, right. He's like, all right, Ting, I taught you martial arts, and you're a master at it. Now never use it. It's basically what he says. I love that part. Like, oh.
Yep, that right. Sounds like it's the teacher.
Yeah. You must never use it against anybody, even though you've learned it your whole life. It's hilarious.
It's only for protection and exercise.
Yeah. I totally thought exercise.
It's
so,
good exercise.
Yeah, let's see how Buffy is. Seriously.
Yeah, he's pretty ripped.
So, and I guess, like, one of the old men is, like, dealing with some, you know, not-so-good guys, and he doesn't get what he wants, so he ends up stealing the head of the Buddha statue that they have in the village. And it's, I don't know, it's funny. I'm sure it's, like, a religious thing, but it's like, the whole fate of the village relies on this one Buddha's statue head, you know? We're all going to die if it's not there.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny.
That one, and this is kind of what's weird about all three, is that, like, they kind of grow in their supernatural information and stuff that they have on there. Like the first one barely has anything that's really supernatural. It's just that. It's like, oh, our village is cursed because the Buddha head is gone, or was stolen, and the statue is desecrated. And then as the series goes on, it's more and more supernatural in it. But then you never really see any kind of curse come from it.
No, not at all. And it's just, it really just seems like bad luck. There's a drought going on. That's probably just time of the year.
Yeah.
I don't really have to deal with that Ongbok head. But anyway, that's just, okay, that's whatever. So, you know, they send Ting off to find it because they need it. And that one older couple, they say, you know, find our son. He left the village a long time ago, and he's in whatever town we're sending you to. So he takes off, and... So he shows up, and I think he finds him. It's like his cousin or something, I think, or just another village, person from his village. And what I thought was kind of funny too, as soon as he runs into him, the girl, I think her name's like Moi. She calls him a hillbilly.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's their version of hillbillies, because he's from a far off village instead of the city.
He's like a little farmer town.
Yeah. This calls him a hillbilly, and you know, they tell him to get lost, and he ends up in that betting club because his cousin and the girl are, you know, always in debt, always gambling, it seems. And they're always kind of trying to two-time their way into some money.
Yeah.
So he ends up in the dirty, sweaty club that just looks like it stinks and it's gross. But man, so, you know, he gets in there and they're like, oh, he wants to fight because, you know, they're having, like, these fist fights and everyone's, like, betting on him and stuff.
Yeah, and he's just trying to get, like, the money or something.
He's just trying to get by to get, yeah, his stolen village money back. And the dude rushes him, and just the first time I saw that knee that he threw, I just laid the dude out. It's like I had the same reaction as everyone in the crowd. It's like my jaw just dropped and I was, like, just staring in silence, like, holy fuck, that was over in, like, a second.
That's like, it's silly because you want people, when they go to these types of movies, they want this big showy, you know, flying around all over the place. And this is, I think, what struck me most about Tony Jaa is, like, so freaking awesome and so different from everybody else. Is even though he can do a lot of that showy stuff, it's just the raw power that he has that he just lays these guys out in, like, one hit.
Yeah,
over, you know?
Yeah, not even a single punch that dude threw. It was just boom, and it was gone. I was like, oh, fucking. It looked like it hurt. Like, that's the thing about Tony Jaa, is, like, his moves really look like they're doing some major damage to these poor stunt dudes, you know? And I've grown to appreciate it because he does it a lot.
Yeah.
You'll see it throughout these whole movies.
Ever every once in a while you'll see some that like don't look like they quite connect and stuff, but most of the time that impact just looks so hard. And
the slow-mo ones really is like when they show him, you know, gearing up and the dude will like lean his head in because he's about to get pelted and bam.
Yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful, Jimmy. I love it. So then like, you know, all that stuff happens and then they end up getting chased by those dorks, with that one dude with the glasses, and so they have that little like marketplace chase. And I think it was around that time is when I started really thinking, like, okay, this guy was obviously inspired by like Jackie Chan movies, because the way he's, you know, getting away from them, just flipping through walls, and you know, he's bouncing over cars and everything. It's just, it's like an old Jackie Chan movie, you know. That's totally what you would see in those.
Yeah, there's a lot of like acrobatics and stuff.
Right. Yeah, and it's just, it's fun to watch, and you're, you know, you don't want to blink because you don't want to miss anything, and it's just, it's always fun to see those type of things, and he does it really well. I think he really knows his stuff. I think just being the stuntman for so long, and they know how to set up these things and just make them, and they're kind of comical too, you know. They like kind of give you a chuckle.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, especially when he has his bumbling cousin, Homelay, going after him. So that's always, it's fun to watch. And then, plus, like, you don't really see too many martial artists do that, besides Jackie Chan, you know? You don't see, like, Jet Li going off doing that, or, you know, it's not really too much of a, I think, a common thing in too many martial arts movies. So many of them are, I think, a little too serious, and I think it's nice to have one that kind of has fun like this. I think that's why I like it so much.
Yeah, it was definitely something different.
For sure. So then he ends up back in that club, of course, and he's trying to get through again, and Homelai is like, you know, I ain't gonna tell you unless you fight, win me some money. So they have this big dude, I think it's an Australian guy. And, you know, he's just taunting him, and he's throwing around like women and like humping him, and you know, just
trying to
get a rise out of him. It's really funny. And you know, the thing is too is I noticed that there's like a somewhat of a connection between Australia and Thailand, just because they had obviously Australians in this movie, and also one of his other movies, The Protector, I think takes place in like Sydney. So I'm wondering if that's just was. I don't know, they're close, and there's some type of connection between the two. I don't know. Do you know anything about that?
Not a whole lot. I would think it's just because they're close. I don't know if maybe it even goes back to when Britain was trying to expand everywhere.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
They had a kind of a connection there, but I think it was just...
It's weird that's Australians.
Yeah, I think it's just because it's really close by. I mean, they're not that distant from each other.
Yeah. But that was... That fight was cool, and that was one of the first instances where I saw that he... I think he has the people he's fighting wear like wig helmets. I swear, some of those hits that he throws, the guy's like head is like completely, and face is like covered with just hair. So I'll bet you there's like a helmet in there, you know, to protect him from his elbows and his knees.
Yeah, probably.
Because it's like, you could like fake it, but man, you're probably really going to get some type of concussion with those blows that he's throwing. So I thought that was kind of funny. And then also, so he defeats that dude, and then they send that real quick, I'm not sure if he was doing Kung Fu or not, the one with like spiky hair, the other Asian.
I think it was Kung Fu, yeah.
Yeah, and he was real quick, and I swear he had another hair helmet, because the hair looks like too big for his head.
Yeah.
And then the last fight he does is with that other, I'm guessing he's another Australian dude. That just likes to throw things.
Yeah,
I don't think he throws like a single punch.
It's kind of cool to see the difference of their fighting, because the first guy's kind of like a boxer, maybe with a little bit of wrestling mixed in, and then you get the kung fu guy, and then the other guy's that just all out crazy.
Right, yeah, just throwing shit. So it's like really anything he could reach, he just charges at him.
Yeah, they really tore that place apart.
I did.
Hit him with everything.
So then that all happens, and then he finds like the dude that I think actually took the head from the village, and they have that little taxi chase.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny, because it's like, man, those things look dangerous enough as it is. It's like three-wheeled taxis zipping around the city, you know?
Yeah.
And they're just like flying down the street, and it's just, it's funny. And, yeah. It kind of went on a little bit too long, I thought, but whatever. So then, I forget what happens after that, but they ended up, there's that crazy dude with the thing that he needs to speak into his throat. I'm guessing he has, like, emphysema or something, I don't know. The one that's always placed in the beds. He's, like, the evil,
yeah, know. he would have a stoma, which is, like, the hole in your neck, that, and then, so his voice box is damaged, obviously, and he has to have this thing to talk.
Yeah, it's really annoying, because it's just Thai.
Yeah.
So you can't even sound... You can't even understand English when those things are going on, but...
They're pretty hard. And he doesn't even need the thing either. It's just something for the actor.
Yeah, no, he, like, talks at the end of it. It's super raspy. It's like, really? That's kind of funny. So, they get into, like, that boxing match or whatever. The Muay Thai fight with the one big buff dude who does all the drugs. And they, you know, they tie the ropes around their fist and everything. And
yeah.
I don't know if that's, like, an actual thing that goes on, or that's just more for show, that fight, because it's just, I don't know, I think fighting with ropes around you would do some pretty crazy damage.
I think they've really done that, because, well, I mean, like, the word Muay is to bind together, so you're, like, binding your fists with these ropes.
Oh, wow. And they're actually hitting each other in the face with those? Man. Ouch. So he injects himself with, like, some drug, and I'm like, what drug is this? Is it speed, I'm thinking? Because, you know, it just made him, you know, nothing was hurting him every time he threw a punch.
Some kind of steroid or something, I don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking that, but it's like, what works that quickly and, you know, muffles the pain? It's
magic juice.
Like, it's always, they kind of just, yeah, they just simplified it, and it's just like, oh, it makes him invulnerable, just pretty much.
Plus 8 steroid.
Right, yeah.
Steroid of fastness and strength.
Yeah. And Wolverine-ness. He gives him no... He's like hitting him in the ribs, and I don't know. That's funny. So, he gets defeated, and I think they get, like, captured or something like that, right? And they get, like, taken away to get killed. And they have, like, that little fight in the... it's like a gas station.
Yeah, a little abandoned... something.
Yeah, which is really cool, because they have that one scene where he actually, his pants actually catch on fire, and he's like flying around kicking dudes with it.
They really do like lighting him on fire, I've noticed in movies.
Yeah, they do, and I read that he actually got hurt too, because I guess the flame spread up really quickly, and it says it burned his eyebrows and his eyelashes and his nose. So I'm like, man, it went to his face.
Wow, yeah, that's pretty bad. They were pretty big flames, though.
Yeah, they were.
He puts his knee up so close to his face when he's flying, like, kind of flying knee thing. It's, like, right in his face. No wonder.
And it makes you wonder, like, what kind of safety precautions are they taking in Thailand? Is it, like, as strict as it is in America, you know? Or, like, the stuntman is, like, has, like, 5 layers of clothing on with that, like, flame retardant gel and all that stuff. It just looks like, just like, all right, put some kerosene on him and light him up and action.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know if they have the funding for all the extra protection.
That's what I mean. Put on 2 pairs of pants on him. He'll be all right.
Hose him down first, then.
God. Poor Tony. But that's another thing, too. You never see that shit in America. You never see the main man in an action movie actually catch on fire and, you know,
well, see,
throw some punches.
That's kind of the difference in why I like these movies versus a lot of American films, because you look at a lot of the American ones, you look at something like... I hate to use this as an example because it's terrible, but Tokyo Drift.
All right.
Or even, like, to go fighting. When it actually, like, this movie is okay, but Never Back Down. These movies are, like, the male protagonist is terrible. He has no idea what he's doing. You know, he's just a loser. And then you have something like Ong Bak, or really any of Tony Jaa's movies, or Jet Li, or a lot of these guys, they're just a badass from the beginning.
Yeah, well, like, well, they've studied martial arts their whole lives.
Yeah,
and stuff, you know, and
like, I like that they're not just like, it's not, it feels less like a video game where you have to, like, level up your character the whole time. It's just you're already awesome and you're kicking ass the entire time.
And that's the thing too, it's like they just get, like, these pretty boys that just, you know, they think they'll draw the girls in by wanting to watch them with their shirt off, when it's just like, you know, there's some dork that doesn't know how to throw a punch.
Yeah.
And it shows, you know, in the movies. So yeah, that's why they're great. So then he ends up at, like, that cave, I guess, where the bad guys all gathered up at. And, man, that whole sequence when he enters the cave and starts fighting those dudes with, like, the bow staff. And then he gets, like, those, I don't know what they're called, but he holds them and, like, they cover his forearms. Those, like, wooden things.
I want to say tonfa, but I'm not entirely...
Tonfa? That's what they're called?
Think
they're cool. Yeah, they're cool to see, and that's just another one of the instances where he's throwing this, you know, the bow staff around, and man, he's really looked like he's breaking these dudes' skulls open, because, man, it looks like he's really hitting them hard. Or in the chest. I'm like, oh my god, how are these guys taking it? Even if it's like rubber, you know, it's, that's still gotta fucking hurt, dude.
Yeah, yeah,
it looks real rough.
They're tonfos. Like, I actually have a pair of tonfos. You'd think I'd know what they're called, but
yeah. Seriously,
his were interesting though. I've never seen, I mean, because mine aren't like this either. In most ones I've seen, they had a strap on them, like to hold the back part when he has it like down to protect his forearm, and it's like strapped around his forearm. And he like slides them off.
It wasn't just like a bar he was holding. That's what I thought it was. Like it's something in his fist that he's holding him in place with.
No, well, he's holding onto the, because the way they're shaped, he has the part that he holds onto in his hand, and then there's like a wooden like bar underneath, right. And then that part, the long part, because they're basically a police baton. That's where the police took that from him, but that long part is wrapped around his like forearm. I don't think you're supposed to notice it though, because like for some because some scenes he's swinging them around and stuff, and then later it's like on there, and he just like slides them off. I was like, wait, are those supposed to be there?
Movie magic.
Oh yes.
That's all it is.
It's that, so then, okay, so he up,
yeah, okay, sorry, I forgot. Looking at the budget, it looks like it was barely over $1 million. So it's not too much money. So, he ends up fighting against that other dude, right? The one that took drugs. And, man, I don't know if it's what that actor's, like, contract was, because I swear he wasn't in that fight at all. Because every time they show real fast action, it was like some other dude. You could totally tell it was another actor.
Yeah.
Because they covered up like his face with hair, like he had another wig on, and man, it was just like the different dude the whole time. The only time it was the actual actor was when he was like on his back because he was hurt.
Yeah, replacing him with a stunt double or something, probably.
Yeah, every single fight, it just seemed like he was not him. I was like, man, I don't know, maybe this guy just can't fight, and they just kind of wanted his mean looking face. I don't know. So I thought that was, it's just funny to see the his back is turned. You can kind of see his face. It's covered by hair. We could just totally tell it's a different dude. It's kind of funny. So, yeah, you know, he ends up, he defeats everyone. The big head gets knocked over, and his cousin ends up getting killed. Hum Lai. And then, you know, he takes the head back, and everything's fine again. Happy ending. Now,
and he gets the girl.
Yeah, that. Like, did he really?
I don't know. I wanted him to, though. She was cute.
Yeah, she was pretty cute. You know, the thing I thought was funny was their tagline for these was like, no wires, no special effects. And it's very apparent because there isn't until, like, at the end, they show, like, a close up of his eyeball and you see, like, a flame go through it. It's like, man, how'd he do that? No CGI. He lit his eyeball on fire. Oh man, so that's the first one, and it just, you know, it left an impression on me because, you know, this is the first, I think, actual Thai kung fu movie that I've seen. I'm pretty sure I still haven't seen any besides his movies, and so I was like, man, they make him as good as, you know, a Jet Li could or a Jackie Chan could. Just, you know, just a lot of action and cool fight scenes, and I'm like, man, they got it down, this guy, and I want to see more. And it wasn't until like a lot later that I learned that they were making a part two. And so I was excited until I learned that it wasn't. Well, not, I don't know if I was excited that I learned that it wasn't. I was excited they were making more. But I saw that it was a lot different. It wasn't this Ong Bak. It was, you know, takes place a long time ago, and it seemed like more fantasy. That's what I got off from the preview I saw.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot different.
Yeah, and bigger budget, too. Because you could totally tell the first one was made like on a shoestring. Shoestring tie budget.
It made enough, though, so they made more.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think it became popular, even in the West. Because in the DVD, they have... Because I guess... they kind of changed the soundtrack, though, so they made it more of like a hip-hop soundtrack for our release. And I guess it was the RCA was involved in some way, because I know he's like a big kung fu guy. And so they had this like special feature, and where they showed it in like an American theater, and they're kind of like asking questions at the end of it, and it was pretty cool. I was like, man, I wish we would have done that around here, or if they did, I didn't know about it. So you know, that was really cool to see. So, okay, so let's go on to Ong Bak 2, which I guess is the sequel, but it's actually a prequel?
A prequel, yep.
Right, even though it's part two.
Yeah. It's old-timey, takes place in...
Way to be confusing. Yeah, they call it... Well, it's the hashtag on it, or I mean the tag on it was just the beginning, so I guess that makes sense. Chocolate milk. So, the first thing I noticed in this one, they use a lot of CG in these.
Yeah, they do.
In this movie. Like, even in the beginning when all those people are shooting arrows, they just look so fake. I was like, man.
And they got a bigger budget. They can throw it all in there now.
Yeah. The first one cost one. This one cost eight. So, man, they got a lot of money. A lot of money into this one. So, you know, obviously it's takes place in a different time era. He's not the same character. In this one, he's Tien. And he's like a... He's not really a prince, right? He's just some kid who has parents, and they end up dying to this evil king, I suppose.
He had some, like, noble blood in him. I don't know if the term would be prince, though. Like a junior duke or something. I don't know what they'd be called.
Yeah, well, I think, honestly, I think you'd pay attention more to the story than I did, because you're telling me things, I'm like, what? So you're gonna have to help me with this one.
All right.
So, yeah, okay, so you said some type of royalty going on, because obviously he's the king, and he's evil, because he wanted his family killed.
Well, it's like the king... I don't think you ever see the king, because the king... The main villain was the prince, the son of the king.
Okay.
Who's kind of, like, supposed to be in charge of this area or whatever. And then, Tony Jaa's parents, and then, like, the other guy that he gets sent to like, take care of him, they're both... somewhere related to the king. Like, I don't think they really explain where, like, if they're brothers or cousins or what. But so he is still, like, noble blood, but nothing... I don't know, like, I don't think he'd have any kind of claim to the throne, because he's still distant enough.
Why did they have his parents killed then?
Because they had to kill him off because they're a threat.
Ah, like a threat to their throne?
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
So he may have been a brother. See, they didn't really say that, whether he was a brother or a cousin or what.
Yeah,
they were all just lords of other places, so...
Right. So, yeah, his parents get killed, and they send him off to die, too, as well. How they do it was kind of weird. It was they put him into this, like, the spot, and they throw a bunch of blood on him. And then they throw him into, like, a little pit that has a... I guess it was a crocodile, I think?
Crocodile, yeah.
And then I'm like, are crocodiles drawn to blood like sharks are? I'm like, what's the point of the whole blood thing? I didn't get that.
I think crocodiles are drawn to, like, whatever, but they can smell really well, so I think they'd smell him anyway, but...
If he was the only one in there with the pit, you know, it's like, wow, they need to drench him in this blood. That was kind of weird. I'm just not sure if there was a reason for that, or...
I'm sure it would help, I mean, because any animal's going to be drawn to the scent of blood and something that they think is injured.
Oh, man. Yeah. So then, you know, he ends up getting away, The pirates that are... It's funny, they call themselves pirates, too. There's, like, no water. It looked like there. But there's, like, that band of pirates that ends up helping him escape, I guess because he sees how good he could be, or sees his potential.
And he, like, reminded him of himself when he was young, so he, like, throws that knife to him, and he catches it, and somehow...
Taken out. Right.
A very small crocodile.
Dirty water, yeah. Seriously, that's kind of... It reminded me of a... of Ace Ventura when he's fighting the crocodile. He's just, like, rolling around with a fake crocodile in a little swamp. Yeah, it's, like, kind of funny. So, you know, we get the training montage where he's, like, training with all those masters. Because, you know, there's the samurai dude. There's that one dude that fights with, like, those heavy rings on his wrist. I'm not sure what that technique is called, but I've seen it a bunch of times.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
It's more of like a... He's not really throwing punches. He's just more swinging his arms because, like, they're heavy. I think that's how he does the damage. I wish I knew what it was called, but I've seen it a bunch. It's pretty cool. I like watching them fight with that technique. Then that's another thing with the Tony Jaa movies, that they're not really afraid to show, like, different like fighting styles. It's really diverse when it comes to that. For the most part, it's just one guy versus another guy, and they're pretty much doing the same thing. But this one, it's like you'll see. You know, you see the Japanese samurai and the way he fights, and then you see the dude with the rings, and then there's the the big, you know, buff grappler guy. So I always think that's fun in these movies to see those going about.
Yeah, I like to see how all the different styles add up. I mean, you look at, like, Jet Li or Jackie Chan, and then it's always, like, kung fu
and wushu and all stuff.
Yeah, all kind of tied together. Yeah. And then here you see, you know, you get a kung fu guy versus the Muay Thai guy, and then you get a samurai versus the Muay Thai guy, and you kind of see everything.
Man, it's awesome. I'm trying to look at the list, and it says that he's instructed in Muay Boran, Krabi Krabong, Japanese Kenjutsu and Ninjutsu, Malay Salat, which I think is Indonesian, right?
I think so.
Salat just sounds like, I thought it was like a Palat. What was that one? Palak Salat.
Yeah, like Malaysia, Thailand, Singapore.
Interesting. And then Chinese martial arts, and he knows how to use the weapons, like all those. He grows up and grows to be Tony Jaa with his long hair.
Wish I could grow up to become Tony Jaa.
Yeah, don't we all? And then there's the which one was that? There was someone that does like a crazy cat lady fighting style. You know what I'm talking about? Or like, you know, their hands are like in a, almost like in a, I guess if they had claws.
I don't remember, honestly.
it was during the ambush scene, I think, when he's ambushed in the middle of that like little town. That whole scene was just brutal because he just beats the living crap out of everybody.
He's fighting all the ninjas.
Yeah, yeah.
The claws have like those little, the like metal claws that they put on their hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That whole scene
part of ninjutsu, but
freaking awesome. Man, because I think at that point he's like real pissed off, and he just beats the living crap at everybody. It was fantastic. So then, it's weird because they throw like flashbacks in the middle of this movie, like just out of nowhere. Yeah, I was confused at first. I'm like, wait, who are these kids? And it wasn't until later we find out it was him.
Yeah, the flashbacks were weird because they could have done them all. They could have made them shorter and had them all in the beginning, but then they like. They're everywhere in the movie, and they go on for a long time. Like when he runs back and sees his like the duel with his father and the other guy,
mm-hmm.
like that was really drawn out.
Yeah, and like I said, they didn't really explain it at first. Well, I didn't really get it at first. I guess I'm like, wait, who's this kid? I thought it was happening elsewhere while all this is going on. I didn't realize it was a flashback till later on. Yeah. Like, holy crap, man! So it's funny too when he ends up getting, like, drunk, or he's, like, all, you know, looking intoxicated when he has that fight. Because that was, like, one of the most brutal fight scenes that I've seen.
It was weird to see him, like,
done.
Suddenly he's gone into, like, drunken boxing or something. Like,
yeah, it was weird. He's, like, flying around, and he's just falling all over the place. It was cool to see.
The drunken master all over again. Jackie Chan?
Seriously. Really. So then he ends up, like, freeing those slaves and taking revenge on that one big dude that fed him to the Crocs at the beginning. And that was funny too, because they're like, "Oh, thank you," and they're like, kind of, they're pirates, not really supposed to be, you know, the good guys, but he's making them the good guys, I guess.
He's got his little army now; he can use them for whatever.
Right. So then they have that really big fight scene at the end, where he's just like taking everyone out. So, but then, like, you know, he takes out 10 dudes, and like another 30 guys come running after him. So he's just like fighting. Blah, blah, blah. It's really cool to see. And then they throw in this, that crow dude that, you know, doesn't say anything. He just squawks like a crow.
Yeah, it was weird. When I first saw it, I thought it was a chick. Right. That was a girl. I was like, what?
That would have been neat. Yeah, so, you know, he ends up beating his ass, and he's like, he's captured pretty much. And then the evil prince is there, and, you know, he's like, all right, we got him. Now make sure he dies a slow death, and... You know, make sure it's slow, you know, make sure he suffers and all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And then it shows, like, a thing, a little voiceover with a bearded Tony Jaa, what it's like, wait a minute, what? And it says, like, you know, oh, if you pray hard enough, you may just come out of this. And then the movie ends. Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck?
It had
when I first
little,
saw this.
A tiny little bit of foreshadowing, though, because that's when he was standing in front of, like, the Buddha statue that had the scar on it that gets its head cut off in the first one, so it's...
Right, but it's like...
Kind of linking them together, but
when
not
is
really.
This? Like, I thought that was it, and I didn't know that this was a part one of two. So when I first saw it, I'm like, that's it? I'm like, what happens? You know, I was expecting some type of comeback. Who's going to beat the Crow Dude up? Something, you know? I didn't know that there was another one coming.
Yeah.
So, man, I flipped out, man. I was like, what is going on? What are they doing to us? That's all it was. You know, it was such a sudden and unsatisfying end. Because, you know, he was defeated, and that was it. That's all it was. It's just almost like real life, you know? It's depressing.
They don't show him come back or anything.
Yeah, nothing at all. He's captured, he's going to get tortured, and he's going to die, and that's it. So it's like, oh, man, really? So it wasn't until a lot later that I found out, okay, that they're actually making a part three. They're going to continue it. So I'm like, all right, it's not so bad now. Because I enjoyed it until the ending. When they cut it off like that, I'm like, this movie's shit, blah, blah, blah. I lost it. So, all right, so moving on to part three. Part three, man, it's like a totally different movie. Because part two, it's like brutal, you know, a lot of fighting, a lot of blood, a lot of killing. Man, once they get to this one, though, it comes to a screeching halt. There's like hardly any fighting at all up until like the last, like maybe half hour of the movie.
Yeah.
There's like a little bit at the beginning when he's trying to get away. But the whole movie is just pretty much him recovering from his injuries. Because they fuck him up. They show him, like, you know, getting his bones smashed and getting whipped. And
yeah, most of it's just like beaten. A huge montage of him.
Yeah, really. Tortured.
That first scene, though, when he, like, escapes and he's, you know, grabs their spear and everything and is, like, kicking the crap out of everybody, that was a pretty cool scene. And he's got
he tears his
chains from him and, like, yeah, whipping him with the chains.
Yeah. He tries to get away, but it was too much for him. So, you know, they ended up, they rescued him from being killed.
Yeah, the king, like, ordered his release.
Right. So they take him back to the village. And so the girl that he was with in the flashback scenes, part two,
mm-hmm.
you know, she's all grown up now. She's in this village. And it's really funny because they show, you know, her as an, you know, older and adult among the villagers. And, you know, everyone's looking kind of ragged. You know, everyone's kind of got their hair up, looking kind of dirty. But this chick, she's like makeup on, her hair's all done, looking all like a model. Like, man, what a sticking out like a sore thumb.
She does that fancy dance thing that they do, and she's important makes her that.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it's just funny how they make her, you know, they dolled her up and no one else. I was like, man, hey, she had a stylist there, I guess that was her personal one.
My favorite character though is the like weird drunken guy or whatever, the sort of afro.
Oh yeah, the one that played Hamlai.
Yeah,
he was like the kind of, I guess, the village idiot.
Yeah,
kind of slow. Yeah, he was funny. That guy's funny. So what are my notes? So okay, so yeah, she does like that weird like Buddha dance that all the other girls are doing, and she starts teaching Tien how to dance like that while he's recovering. And, you know, he's all jacked up, and he's starting to learn how to come back, and he's exercising and all that stuff, and he starts dancing with her, and you could obviously tell that they're falling for each other. But, you know, it's really funny, though, is that he's speaking another language, Tony Jaa, but you could kind of really tell he's not a really good actor.
Yeah, well, he's a stuntman, he does not act.
Yeah, he's just good for throwing kicks and punches, not so much of the acting. But it's funny how it comes out. Oh man, and then the dancing scenes, man, they just took way too long to me. I'm like, come on. This movie, it just was dragging and dragging. I'm like, come on, get to the good stuff. Like, I wanted it to be a Tony Jaa movie, not a Tony Jaa drama, you know?
Tony Jaa dances.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. So then they come up with the scene where the prince is confronting the crow guy. And, you know, he gets attacked, and he's, like, throwing dudes through the walls, knocking over giant stone pillars and stuff with bodies, right? And then I thought to myself, he's doing these things. He's obviously real powerful, but the way he's hitting these guys, it still doesn't look as bad as the way Tony hits them when he's fighting them. It just seemed, like, a little too fake. You know, they show him, like, punching from the side, and then he's just flying, wham.
Yeah, yeah.
Breaking over
this one really went over the top with the, like, supernatural powers and all that stuff, and
right.
You know, hitting them through the walls and all that stuff, and that's yeah. Actually that's the moment where, to me, the movie really took a downturn.
Why is that?
I don't know. Like, I liked the character, him, you know, the crow character. He was, you know, cool and could fight really mm-hmm. well, and they do have a good fight scene at the end with him. But to me, like, there was so much of a build-up in the second one of the prince being the villain. Like, I wanted to see Tony get revenge on the prince because, you know, he was the villain in the second one.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't happen. The crow guy suddenly, like, takes over as the main villain. And it comes kind of out of nowhere. Like, the crow guy in the second one was barely even there. He was just kind of a badass for, like, you know, for a couple of minutes in there, and then that was it. He was gone. And then all of a sudden, he's, like, this huge character in the third one, and I don't know, it just came out of nowhere. And
yeah, and, like, the prince was having nightmares, and, so he does that. He ends up taking over. And when he becomes, like, the king of the village or whatever, he looks, like, so less intimidating than he did when he was the crow guy.
Yeah, he did.
He just looked like some dude with, like, a funny hat on, you know?
A little bit of makeup and...
Yeah, I was like, man, they really... he just looks like a normal dude now. So he knows... I guess Tien knows what he has to do, so he goes after him again. He goes to the village where he's at, and they have that pretty big fight in the field. And, when they threw in the elephants, when they're fighting around the elephants...
Yeah.
That's like, man, that's... I don't know how they got those elephants to not be, like, stepping on dudes' heads. Because they're flying off of them.
Yeah,
they're like rolling underneath them.
Yeah, they're bouncing off of them and everything. I'm surprised they... Yeah. I don't know how they train the elephants to just, okay, hold still. These guys are going to be bouncing off of you. Just don't move.
Yeah, on their tusk and everything. It's like, how does that not piss them off, you know?
Yeah, really.
Because I don't know if that hurts them, you know? I'm sure they're strong, but... When dudes are, like, bouncing off of them, it's like, wow. Or getting thrown on them, you know? It's like, wow. How are these elephants not going fucking nuts on these people? It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how much...
It's exciting to see, though, you know, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know how much weight a tusk can hold, but, I mean, you get a 180-pound guy falling on it.
Yeah, from high above, it's like, man. So, you know, you kind of summed it up when you said, like, when he didn't really get his revenge on the prince... I think this movie, it builds up to, like, okay, he's going to fight the crow guy again, right? But then he does this thing where he makes the crow guy lose his powers, his crow powers.
Yeah.
And then he's just, like, a normal dude. And that really kind of, I don't know, took the wind out of the sails for me, like, even more so than the whole movie did. Just because it's, like, I was hoping that he would train up to fight him as powerful as he was and still defeat him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to see, like, this big showdown of a regular guy fighting a powerful, you know, deity and the crow dude. But no, he was just a normal guy. He just ends up, like, beating his ass. I think he maybe punched him once or twice on Tien. But the rest of the time, he was just, like, fucking with him pretty much, spinning him around, you know, just beating the shit out of him pretty much the whole time. And the whole ending was just real anticlimactic for me.
Yeah, it really was.
It really wasn't that satisfying. It's just, you know, okay, he defeats him, and then everyone's happy in the village again, and that was it. And that was the ending. And it was just, it was really a letdown. It was really too bad, because it could have been so much more. Because I remember when I saw a preview for part 3, I don't know why, but I thought I saw Tien's character, Tony Jaa's character, like, with crow powers. Like, I don't know if maybe it was just, I thought it was him. But I could have sworn I saw him with, like, the black teeth and everything, like, looking all, like, powerful. I'm like, oh shit, so he becomes powerful in this one, he has to fight him, you know? That's what I thought it was going to be. Yeah, two superpower beings fighting each other. So I got all excited for that, but it was just really, it was really a letdown.
Yeah, that would have been a lot cooler if he'd gained some kind of power or just become stronger somehow and fought him.
Yeah, and was able to stand toe-to-toe with him.
Well, then at that point, it was like, I don't know, there was like 20 minutes left in the movie, and I was like, ah, there's no way it's going to even be a good fighter, if you even get a fight at all.
Yeah,
like, I didn't even really expect to fight at all, and then at least I got something. But
yeah, it was over quickly, and yeah, it wasn't that satisfying at all. I mean, I don't know. I guess if I had to rate the movies in order, it would be in the order that they came out. It would be 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, same for me.
Because it's just, you know, the second one had really cool fight scenes, and you know, it was a lot of fun to watch. But this one, I just kind of fell short in all things. And, you know, I was reading, too, at the end of this one, I guess the director and Tony had gotten into it because they co-directed it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there was a lot of problems in the development of this movie. And it like, pretty much made Tony Jaa want to become, like, a Buddhist monk and not do movies anymore. I don't know if you remember reading that.
Well, yeah, I've never heard that. Well, and him and if I can say his name, Pana Ritikrai. The other director, well, and he's the one guy that, like, made Tony Jaa. I mean, he's the one that has worked through all of his movies and does all the fight choreography and all that stuff, because he used to be a stuntman, I think, as well. Has his own stunt team and stuff. Like, I thought they were good, you know, friends and got along really well, and kind of surprising to think that, you know, they had a spat.
Yeah, they'd have fallen out, and that was it. And I'm wondering if that came with the way that this movie ended up being made, like the last one. Maybe they couldn't agree on storyline or something like that, and it just ended up falling apart and being a big old pile of poo.
Could be, yeah.
So that's too bad. So, yeah, man, that's the Ong Bak movies. They're fun to watch. I think as fun as like the first and second ones were, I think I would probably prefer The Protector if I was to watch them again. So we'll have to save those movies. They just released The Protector 2. I haven't seen it yet. Have you?
No, not all the way through.
Yeah. Oh, so you've seen some of it?
Parts, the snippets of it and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm waiting for it to come out on Blu-ray because I think it's only on digital right now. But we'll save that for another day. That series. Oh man, I'm winded. I talk a lot. So yeah, I don't know what. I didn't really give it any thought, but what we're gonna do for the next episode. Have you thought about anything?
Not necessarily. I'm thinking maybe just go away from the martial arts for a bit, because that's kind of what our focus has been so far.
Right. Yeah. It's funny too, because when I tell people about the show, and I'm like, yeah, you know, we're gonna probably get into like some Korean dramas and stuff, and they're like, what? I thought it was just kung fu movies. I'm like, it's of Drunken Masters of Asian cinema, not of kung fu movies. You know, so we're gonna try and expand a little bit. You know, hit some like samurai movies up and Korean dramas, and so yeah. Well, I guess we'll have to. It'll be a surprise, people.
Stay tuned for the surprise.
Right. If you've made it this far, thank you, because we rambled. But yeah, I guess that's it. Holy crap! Do you remember the email address if people want to email us?
No.
Well, if you want to hit us up, look us up on Twitter. I'm at Gungraves, and James here is at Ringo Tab. So just send us a tweet and let us know how much you like or hate the show. And if you have any suggestions, hey, throw them at us. We're all ears. But yeah, I guess that's it. Thanks, Jimmy, for coming on. And sorry, everybody, that we were so late. We'll try not to have another 2 months between episodes. It's supposed to be a monthly show, but
whoops.
You know, life gets in the way. Anyway, thank you, everybody. And yeah, have a good week. Say bye, Jimmy.
Good night.